This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program.
This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Ayer.
Hello, Jim. Great to be with you, everyone.
And you know, Bridget, we always try and give people a number of different ways they can help support Catholic Radio. And one of the ways that people hear about on the air here is by donating a car. And people always wonder, well, everybody, every charity's asking for cars, but do people really do that? And the answer is yes. Yes, they absolutely do. And just recently, we got a nice check for two local cars that were donated. And we want to thank those two individuals for families for donating cars. They're going to help Catholic Radio a whole bunch here. And also encourage you, maybe if you have a car, boat, motorcycle, RV, anything with a title, that's what it boils down to, anything with a title, we can take it, we'll turn it into cash, it'll keep Catholic Radio on the air here. So think about it. If you've got something that you want to donate, we can help you out there and you can help us out at the same time. And again, thanks to the two most recent families that have donated cars, and thanks to everybody else who's donated cars over the years too, because we do have quite a substantial amount of contributions from car donations.
I've mentioned this before that, you know, for our younger generation out there, or people that really do live in the on-demand world, Catholic Radio is really on the ball with that right now. We are offering all of our shows podcasted, and you can really get them anywhere. You can either go to our website, CatholicRadioIndy.org, and go to click podcast, or really you can get them anywhere, Spotify, Google Play, and any of the
Apple,
all of them. Just Google the show that you listen to, and you can find us there on your favorite podcast platform. Well, and speaking of innovation, we're going to actually be talking about some innovation. I am really excited. I mean, Jim and I do hundreds and hundreds of interviews, you know, each year, and this topic is really incredibly intriguing. And I mean, I'm just kind of blown away by what you're doing. We're talking about the Our Sunday Visitor Innovation Challenge, which actually has culminated into an Innovation Challenge Summit. And our guest today to talk about this is Dr. Matt Smith. He is the Director of Strategic Initiatives at OSV, Institute for Catholic Innovation. And that's what we're going to be talking about. So welcome to Faith in Action.
Well, thanks, Bridget and Jim. Really looking forward to our discussion today. And thanks for being able to get through that mouthful of all the OSV Institute for Catholic Innovation and everything else.
Really, well, that is a little bit of a mouthful. Now, I think most of our listeners, or many of our listeners, when they think of Our Sunday Visitor, they think of, oh yeah, the Catholic newspaper, and that is part of it. But it's, can you tell us about some of the other things besides the Catholic newspaper that Our Sunday Visitor does?
Sure, and OSV is quite a complex social organization. It is a nonprofit organization, and again, many people know from our founding through Archbishop Knoll of the newspaper, great subscriptions over the years, and really been a voice for Catholic thought, Catholic news, and Catholic intellectual tradition. But we do a host of other things. So we also do church envelopes. Many of your listeners will know us through their church envelopes. We also have curriculum, mainly Alive in Christ, K through 8. We do vacation Bible school curriculum also. We have trade publications, too. I think probably many of your listeners have probably encountered an OSV book somewhere along the line. And, you know, one of the things that when I came to OSV a little over a year ago that was really interesting to me was we also have moved really into the digital content publications, and we've also moved into the back-end work for a lot of parishes and dioceses in terms of fundraising. We have a parish management system. We actually, in Huntington, Indiana, have around 30 or 40 programmers as part of our 325 to 350 employees. So as I said, it's a really complex organization that does a lot of different things to serve the church, to serve parishes and dioceses and individual parishioners. And it's a great place to work. I got to say that quite honestly, and been very fortunate over the year to join that.
Well, one of the things that you guys started, and you actually launched it last summer, summer of 2020, amidst everything that was going on, this first ever innovation challenge. What is that exactly?
Right. And, you know, that really stemmed from a brainchild of our president, Jason Shanks, the president of the Institute. And, just a little bit brief history of the Institute before I talk about the challenge.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people may be familiar with OSB, and then they hear the Institute, and they're not sure if it's a separate entity or what is it. Well, we are part of OSB, and when Bishop Knoll founded OSB and started to actually make a little bit of money from the subscription, he always thought that money should go back to the church. So what he did was set up the Institute to basically, our mission is to serve the church, to fund things in the church, and we've been doing that for over 100 years at different levels and really supported some great organizations and things like that. But the Innovation Challenge stemmed from Jason Shanks. He came to the Institute about 4 years ago now, and his first year he just took a sort of listening tour around the country, visiting different apostolates, different ministries, different dioceses, you know, trying to get a handle on maybe some of the challenges the church is working on and how the Institute could have a impact there, make our dollars work the best for the church. And so he came back, and there were three initiatives that we were doing our grant-making strategy around, which were the Hispanic experience, the millennials, and then also the domestic church. And so for the last 3 years, that was our funding initiatives, sort of our traditional grant cycle, those kind of things. Well, last year he decided to start the OSB Challenge with some investment of our money. And we had a great response in our first year, about 350 ideas that came through. And we took some assessment, took some time in the Institute this fall to do some assessment of our regular grant-making activities and the OSB Challenge. And what we discovered really was the impact that we could have for the church through this assessment, we thought could be amplified through more resources going to the OSB Challenge. And so the OSB Challenge, in its second year, we've made it a little bit more robust in its funding. We actually had, I want to get the exact number right, 587 applications this year in round one, which was great. So we were a little worried as we were going into this year. You never know if we'd exhausted our pool or if we weren't getting the word out, but we were not disappointed in the return on that. So 587 outstanding applications.
We're talking with Dr. Matt Smith. He is the Director of Strategic Initiatives at OSV Institute. And actually, the Innovation Challenge, it's basically like a kind of like a Catholic talent contest, isn't it? Something like that? Could I equate it to something like that? Or
right. I don't know if we would do talent contests. A lot of people have talked about it as a Shark Tank, but we want to say that we're a little bit more merciful and graceful in our dealing with our contestants. But really what it is, I mean, you know, and Bridget, that's a great question. All kidding aside is, you know, what we're really trying to do is generate ideas from the heart of the church, you know, and within the magisterium. But, you know, one of the things that really spurred us to do this, and I think everybody, your listeners, and both you and Jim are familiar, I mean, our numbers for the church, for people leaving, for people coming into, are not great. And, you know, Catholic Church has always been on the cutting edge of innovation. I mean, you think about Catholic schools, you think about science, you think about Catholic hospitals, think about all those things, you think about the universities in the Middle Ages. I mean, you know, the Catholic Church has really always been a leader in innovation. And when we spent some time, and this is the team at the Institute, we spent some time really trying to look back and discern about what our peerism was and spent some time reading Bishop Knoll's letters and biography. And we really see from our peerism, from Bishop Knoll's mission, he was always an innovator. And so what we really wanted to do was connect with OSV's sort of mission and OSV's charism back to innovation. And you know, not to be, you know, sort of cliche here, but we really wanted to say to the Catholic Church, you know, we think it's time for all of us to go on the offensive here, and not in a martial kind of way, but really in a way of, you know, let's be proud of who we are, and let's really try to innovate, and let's look for those ideas that can bring people to Christ and that can show the world and show the United States what a powerful force for the common good that the Catholic Church can be.
Well, I think your analogy of Shark Tank, the television program Shark Tank, is pretty spot on, really, because on the television program, entrepreneurs who have a great idea that maybe the next greatest thing since sliced bread just don't have the money to make it happen, and the sharks sometimes step in, sometimes don't. But in the Catholic community, the same thing. There's lots of people who have great ideas for great programs, but a lot of them need some funding or some a grant to get them started or keep them going or whatever. And probably a lot of people don't know about the program that you offer. Is it a challenge to promote it, to get the word out about it?
Well, yes, it has been. And quite frankly, you know, that's one of the things, you know, we're trying to, the Institute is also trying to model innovation. So we're constantly thinking about ways that we can improve. And our plan is to keep this challenge going. And I'll talk a little bit about the summit as we talk further and what our plans are for that. But, you know, strictly to your point, Jim, you know, we want to build this innovation tribe. And so with these 587 applications and the 350 last year, you know, we don't only, you know, there will be three winners with $100,000 prizes. But what we also decided this year, and this is where we put a little bit more robust funding, is we've moved 182 of those challengers on to round two. From those 182, we'll get down to 24 semifinalists. Those 24 semifinalists will receive prize money also. So sort of to give them a kickstart in there, and then from the 24 we'll get to 12, and they will receive additional prize money, and then the 12 will compete for the three $100,000 prizes. So while we're also trying to build this innovation tribe, we're also trying to cultivate investors to people that will come in, whether it's finalist or semifinalist, and see these ideas and say, you know, either from a philanthropy perspective, donate to the nonprofits. But we also, in the challenge, we also have for-profit organizations and companies. So last year with the 12, we were split half and half, six for-profit, six not-for-profit. And so, you know, we also have been dealing with some equity investment, some venture capital for some of these. We've learned a lot about sort of valuation and how that whole process works out. But, you know, unofficially, we have brought to those 12 finalists last year, just through the challenge, through either people that we've connected them with, you know, over $1.5 million in donations or investment. And so that's really, I mean, again, for the Institute, it's about amplifying the dollars that we can bring. And we've had some discussions with some other foundations and some other institutes and some other philanthropists about ways we can keep building that investment into these ideas. Because what we found in talking with other foundations, with philanthropists, you know, is they also are really, hyped or psyched about this idea about innovation, about how can they help the church, you know, bring people to Christ, bring people to church. What are the ways that we can work with emerging ideas? And again, all from the, you know, heart of the church, all under the magisterium. Not in you know, ways that are, you know, sometimes people hear innovation and they think, well, is that a radical rethinking of liturgy or those kind of things? And it definitely is not. But it is a radical new way of thinking about how do we design our ministry? How do we design our education? How do we design the way that we're working with our parishioners, our seminarians, our people in discernment for vocations? So all those kind of things. So we're extremely excited. I'll tell you a little maybe funny anecdote story is, and I should have known this, but, you know, we were getting a little nervous when we first launched the challenge at the beginning, the second challenge at the beginning of February. We were getting a very slow trickle of applications in. And so about a week before, and our goal had always been to, you know, you always want to get a little bit better every year. And so our goal was, you know, about 400 applications we wanted to at least meet. And so about a week before the final deadline, we were at 325. And we thought, okay, you know, we'll make a few. Well, we had about 250 applications literally in the last day and a half when the applications were due. And so we were blown away by that. But
we've
known that everybody, a deadline is a deadline. So
yeah, well, those innovators can tend to be last minute. So we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Innovation Challenge Summit taking place in Houston in September. So stay tuned for more.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
Alexa, what's the weather forecast for today?
Alexa, what time is the Colts game today?
Alexa, remind me to pick up the dry cleaning tomorrow.
Has Alexa become a part of your daily routine? Then make sure that routine includes Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Quick, easy access to Catholic programming 24/7. Just say, Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. Jim Ganley and I are in the studio. We're talking with Dr. Matt Smith. He's the Director of Strategic Initiatives at OSV Institute of Catholic Innovation. And we're talking about this Innovation Summit Challenge, which is going to be in Houston in September. But before we get to that, which we'll get at the end of the show, I want to ask you about the process, maybe where you get your applicants, you know, and what they do once they get admitted or, you know, into the process here.
Right. So we have about a month to 6 week application process for the first round. And that's, you know, we've been really trying to, you know, increase that. And as we did, we had 587 applications for round one. And we were also very encouraging of dioceses, parishes to apply. You know, even if they have sort of programs, if there's a new idea or something that they want to do, sometimes people hear innovation and they think it can only be, you know, a person. So we had over 20 professed religious apply this time, which was great.
That's interesting.
We even had one bishop apply. You know, so we were very happy with that. Our three categories, we asked people to sort of self-collect or self-select categories. We're trying to refine that a little bit so that we can understand a little bit where innovation, where, you know, people organically are saying, here's where we need innovation. Our three top areas that people self-selected were parent and family, Catholic education, and creative arts, which is surprising. But our largest category was other. And, and so, as you might imagine, other encapsulated a lot of things. There were pro-life. A lot of pro-life in the other. There were also a number of what I would call parish programs or ministry programs to a parish or diocese. So we had, we had a wide range of ideas, but it was interesting to us, too. We did not have a lot of Catholic education last year, and so we really spent some time reaching out to different organizations that could help us promote because, you know, we know the pandemic was challenging for many Catholic schools. We know just in general, before the pandemic, Catholic education was challenged with numbers. And so we were really trying to say, hey, we can help you cultivate new ways to attract students, new ways to offer curriculum, those kind of things. So we were pleased with that.
Now, what sort of winners, what sort of programs have won in the past competition, just to give people maybe a thought starter as to what they might submit?
Yep. Yeah, and the three winners last year, and if they go to osvchallenge.com, if your listeners go to osvchallenge.com, there's a much longer description of each of the three winners, but they were Catholic Sprouts, which was a family ministry, Eden Invitation, which deals with questions of sexuality within the Catholic Church and dealing with young adults who are struggling with those. And then the third was the Juan Diego Network, which is a series of podcasts and media integration around Hispanics in the United States and in South America. So those were the three winners. There were, and again, you know, even last year coming into the 12 to get to three was very challenging. So this year it's going to be even more challenging because this year as we go, as I said, we had 587, you know, great ideas. It was extremely difficult, 182. So if any of your listeners were, you know, in round one and didn't make it to round two, you should not feel bad. It was a very tough process, and it's going to be even tougher to go from 182 down to 24. But those 24 semifinalists then will enter a six-week accelerator that we are facilitating with University of St. Thomas in Houston, Texas. And that's part of the reason that we are going to have the summit in Houston was that we've been working with the University of St. Thomas around the accelerator and helping them structure it, and then they're helping us with some of the curricular aspects of that. And then from that 24 after the accelerator, there'll be 12. And so the other thing that we found with many entrepreneurs, and even with what I would call some more established organizations that are trying new ideas, was they also needed some real, I would call it nuts and bolts around business plans and pitches. And so we really wanted to give people resources, you know, as they make it through the challenge. And one of the things that we know that we need to improve on is, and that we're going to work on for next year is, you know, for those 587, what kind of resources can we give them as they go along? How about the next one around two? So, you know, we really are working towards improving that. If you apply, you're not just, okay, I've applied and I'm not making it. Mm-hmm. It's you've applied and there's assistance every step of the way. It just sort of amplifies as we get further down that road. Mm-hmm. But we're really excited about, as we look through these 182, and like I said, it's going to be a really difficult discernment process for the to move down to 24. So as it was to move down last year, but even to get from those 12 to the three winners.
Okay. I'm wondering if you have any hints that you could share with somebody who's thinking about submitting a project for some possible funding. Are there some things that make certain applications stand out to your judges more so than others? I mean, do you have to put it on
Yelp?
Go ahead.
Yep. I think one of the things, especially with the round one application, is can you concisely articulate what your idea is or what your organization does in its mission? You know, we have a lot of people that had, I mean, again, of those 587, all of them were really good ideas. The ones that moved on, I think, in a general sort of way, were really able to, even if it was, you know, literally an idea that they put down on the back of the napkin, they were able to concisely express what that idea is so that, as you can imagine, reading 587, you know, there was a panel of judges, we needed to see what that idea was pretty quickly.
Now, do they submit videos or a little portfolio of pictures, or what do they submit?
In round one, it is truly a questionnaire, a series of questions that we ask that gets that really we try to get to the heart of what the idea is. Now, in round two, they develop a business model canvas, they submit a video, and they submit a little bit more further questions around governance and finances, and then as they move through, it gets even more, you know, we're not only interested in just the idea and the business plan, which is important. I don't want to diminish that, but we're really also interested in the people. Do they have a heart for this ministry? How are they showing us that they understand whatever their idea is that they're trying to encapsulate to? So it's both the person and the idea.
Okay, we're only got about 4 minutes left, and I want to get to Houston. So tell us what's happening there, how people can participate. I'd love to take a road trip and go. So can people show up?
We've begun to work with the University of St. Thomas is we've made a few visits down to Houston. We're also in conversations with a Catholic foundation in that area that may come on board in a certain way. And we just think Houston is a really dynamic market for the growing Catholic Church. And for OSV, again, we want to use everything that we do as a learning experience for us. And so Houston is really a growing Catholic market, large Hispanic population. Cardinal DiNardo is the bishop there. So we just thought that was a great place for us to be. And so September 18th is going to be the OSV Challenge Showcase. That's where the 12 finalists will pitch their ideas to panel judges. We'd love to have people there, but we also will live stream the event again like we did last year so people can do that. But we're going to have a series of events that Friday and that Saturday. And then Cardinal DiNardo is actually going to offer Mass for us on Sunday. So really would love to encourage people to try to attend. Our longer-term strategy with this Innovation Challenge Summit, Innovation Summit, is really to turn it into a conference culminating in the showcase. You know, we really like to make it, I mean, people are familiar maybe with South by Southwest in Austin. We'd really like to make this the destination for Catholic innovation, for your entrepreneurs, and not only for the entrepreneurs and the organizations that are innovating, but the investors and the philanthropists. We'd like it to be the place that they meet, they can hear ideas, they can network in a pretty safe environment, but also that people can learn. We're, you know, next year I think we're going to do some things around thought leadership, around design thinking, around creativity. And then again, some nuts and bolts, you know, like what will investors and philanthropists and venture capitalists, what do they want to know about or hear if you get that 20-minute meeting with the big donor that you've been trying to land for a year and a half? What do they want to know, you know, and what's your best way to present that? So we really want to continue to build that OSV Innovation Summit into that destination for Catholic innovation.
So if people want to participate, they can, it's going to be live streamed. And the, how many like tickets, who are you looking for to be in person? Mostly investors or philanthropists or who?
A wide range. Again, as we cast the net, we have probably, there'll probably be about 250 to 300 tickets and they'll go on sale. We're going to have, so that some meals and some opportunities. It'll be very reasonably priced. So if you have a friend in Houston, you can stay with the friend and, you know, come. But we're going to be at the Omni Galleria. And if you go to OSV Innovation or OSVChallenge.com, pardon me, OSVChallengePart.com, you can find out more information. And there'll be more coming out this summer. But we have finalized, we'll be at the Omni Galleria in Houston. So as we've discovered, Houston is a little bigger than Fort Wayne and Huntington, Indiana. So I want to make sure people understand where we're going to be in that area. But we'd really love to see people there. Of course, philanthropists, investors, but also people that are interested, that, you know, who is going to get to that final 12? Who is going to win? Who is going to get a $100,000 check on that Saturday, September 18th?
It's really exciting. The Innovation Challenge Summit. Our guest today has been Dr. Matt Smith, Director of Strategic Initiatives at OSV Institute for Catholic Innovation. Thanks so much for being our guest today.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Bridget and Jim. I very much enjoyed our conversation.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again or any past episode at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.